Well, good morning. Again, I'm going to be talking about work organization and health among immigrant women with a focus on Latino manual workers in North Carolina. I'd like to start by acknowledging my funder, which is the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. I have nothing to disclose financially. The participants refused to pay me, and the employers wish I didn't exist. So, the objective of my presentation today is to determine the associations of work organization attributes of full-time employed immigrant Latino women manual workers with indicators of their physical health, their mental health, and their mental and physical health-related quality of life. In terms of work organization attributes, I'll be considering job demands, decision latitude or control, and support. Now, so that we're all on the same page, work organization, the way I define it, is the processes and organizational practices that influence job design. This can have several components. One of those is the structure of the job, what shifts you work, what hours you work, the seasonality, whether the job is flexible, whether it's contingent. I won't be considering any of those factors today, but I will be looking at some factors in other areas, including physical and psychological demand of work. So heavy loads, awkward positions, stress, speed, those sorts of physical and psychological demands of the workplace, control or decision latitude that the workers have, including variation in effort, choice in performing work, creativity that they might be able to apply to their job, that kind of flexibility. And then finally, I'll be talking about support, including supervisor support and control and work safety climate. So how much control does your supervisor have of your work, how much support do they give you, and work safety climate, which I define as the workers' perceptions of how much the employer values safety over production. Now, a lot of this has been put together in something called the demand control support model, which says that no matter how I'll simplify it a great deal here. No matter how much the demands of your work are, if you have sufficient control and support, those demands will not have as much impact on your health. But no matter how much demands are, if you have little control or support, they will have an impact on your health. So that's what we'll be looking at. And sometimes they're put together in something called job strain, which is just another concept. Now, we believe that work organization is important for the health of immigrant working women. Why? Well, we've been doing research in this area for a while and reading the literature, and we know that these women feel very little control over the work environment. They have little say on how work is done, so the way work is organized is very important. And in the face of unsafe work environments, they seldom complain. They fear job loss. This is a group of people who really, really do need their jobs. We all need our jobs, but these folks particularly do, and they have a hard time finding jobs. So they want to keep them so they won't complain. Further than that, they fear harassment from authorities. These are immigrants. Many of them come from countries where all authorities harass people, particularly poor people. And so they expect to be harassed if they talk to authorities in this country. Finally, many of them, probably most of them, though we don't know that for sure, are not documented. And therefore, they fear if they complain about the work situation, that they'll face deportation. Because we're talking about women today, they are particularly vulnerable to workplace physical and sexual harassment. Most of these women do not speak English. We'll see later that many of them in our sample, speak Spanish as a second language. They speak an indigenous language as a first language. They do not know their rights. So in research we've done, for example, because they're undocumented, most of these women do not believe that they have a right to workers' compensation, which in North Carolina is not the case. Everyone has a right to workers' compensation. And often, again, they lack work documents, so they're not going to, when they're being harassed, they're not going to say anything. Again, these are women, and they're traditional women in many ways, and so they not only have their work that they're doing to support their families financially, but they have a number of domestic responsibilities. They are the major family, childcare, and domestic providers in their households. And they have to not only work, but they have to cook and clean and take care of the kids and be responsible for those sorts of things. So how work is done and when they work and the stresses they feel at work are compounded by their domestic responsibilities. Given all that, it's unfortunate that very little research has addressed the organization and health outcomes among these types of women, or among immigrants at all. Most work organization research seems to be with hospital workers or white-collar workers, and some with American manufacturing workers, but very little with immigrant workers or with low-income and women workers. So that's the background to our study. Who are our participants? Well, we limited it to full-time manual workers. They had to work at least 35 hours a week. We recruited them in four Western North Carolina counties using a stratified cluster sampling design, which I could explain to you ad nauseum, but I will save you from that. We recruited for this part of the study, 319 women. Now, the parent study that this is from was really looking at poultry processing workers, and we had a comparison group of other manual occupations, and we put them all together, all the women from that sample, because there's an equal or greater number of men, for this analysis. Our data collection for this component was a face-to-face interview conducted in the participants' homes by local interviewers who were all fluent Spanish speakers. They took about 60 minutes to complete, and they were all completed in the year 2010. So we did look at compare our poultry processing workers to our other workers, and they were not significantly different in any of these characteristics, age, years in the U.S., or primary language. So they're about 35 years old on average. They've been in the country on average 10, 11 years. 80% spoke Spanish as their primary language, 20% spoke an indigenous language, mostly Mayan languages, Quiche, were the dominant indigenous language, but many variations of Quiche. Measurement. So we measured three components within work organization: demand, decision latitude, and support. You can see at the bottom our references. We use standard measures to the extent possible, taking items out of several different questionnaires. So our demands were heavy load, awkward position, and psychological demands, measured with various numbers of items and average, with acceptable reliabilities, at least for a social scientist. Decision latitude included both skill variety, different way, did you get to use different skills in your job, was it varied that way, and how much control you had over when you worked, how fast you worked, that sort of thing, each measured with three items that were averaged. And then support, again, was their perceived supervisor control. How much control does your supervisor have on when you work, how much you work, what you get paid, if you get a promotion, were items in that. Supervisor control scale, and work safety climate was measured with the Gillen work safety climate measure. These are all measures we've used multiple times, and we've translated most of them ourselves and don't have a formal validation, but they seem to work. This gives you some statistics on these measures, their means and standard errors. Now, in terms of our outcomes, we had three sets of outcomes. First was musculoskeletal pain, so we asked people if in the last year and then in the last 3 months if they had pain at any of those six sites, neck, et cetera, and then we totaled them into three categories, no pain in 1 to 3 sites or 4 to 6 sites. We used the validated Spanish language CESD short version to measure depression. And then we use the validated SF-12, validated in Spanish, to measure both mental and physical health-related quality of life. And this gives you an idea of what the health characteristics of these women was. So you could see that a third of them had back pain, a third of them had hand and wrist pain, a third of them had shoulder pain. It ends up that about 40% of them had no pain in any of those sites, about 40% had pain in 1 to 3 sites, and 16% had pain in 4 to 6 sites. depression on the short version was 6.2, and you can see their health-related quality of life measures. So, given all that, what did we find? What were the relationships that we found in our results? So first, looking at number of musculoskeletal symptoms. So this is the bivariate results you're seeing there. Those with asterisks were also significant in multivariate analysis, in which we put all the organization of work measures and the personal characteristics, age, years in the U.S., speaking an indigenous language, and whether or not they worked in the poultry processing industry. So we can see that in terms of demands, greater demand, greater number of musculoskeletal symptoms were associated with greater heavy load, greater awkward position, and greater psychological demands. That more that number of musculoskeletal symptoms was inversely related to skill variety. So the more skill variety you had, the more job control you had, the fewer musculoskeletal pains you reported. And there was no association with musculoskeletal symptoms and the support measures. When it came to depression, factors from each of the three work organizations' domains were associated with depression. So greater heavy load, greater awkward position, greater psychological demands were associated with higher levels of depressive symptoms. Decision latitude, or skill variety and job control, were inversely related with depression. So the more skill variety you had, the more job control you had, the fewer depressive symptoms you had. In this analysis, and for this outcome, these two support measures were also associated with depression, such that less supervisor control greater supervisor control and greater work safety climate were associated with less depression. Now, in terms of the PCS of the SF-12, the physical component scale, nothing was related to that, so I won't be talking about that any further. But in terms of the mental health related quality of life measure, again, factors from each of the three organization of work domains were associated. So as you would expect, greater awkward position and greater psychological demands resulted in worse mental health related quality of life. Decision latitude was had a relationship, so that it improved mental health-related quality of life, as did the support measures. And again, you can see both the bivariate and the multivariate analysis there. So, in summary, work organization is important to understanding the health of immigrant women manual workers. As indicated by the demands control support model, musculoskeletal pain, depression, and mental health quality of life were worse with greater demands, better with greater control, and better with greater support. So work organization should be considered an important factor when we're looking at the physical health, mental health of immigrant workers. But however, again, little research has documented the health of immigrant workers in hazardous industries. So there's very little research in that area to begin with, and less in terms of organization of work. And in fact, almost no research has considered the influence of work organization on occupational safety and health of immigrant workers, particularly women. And this analysis indicates how work is organized can influence the health of these women. The implications of this from our perspective are several. First, we need to document work organization further than what we have. We use self-report measures in terms of health outcomes. We need to get some clinical measures in there, actually measure musculoskeletal injuries, carpal tunnel syndrome, other clinical measures of some of these outcomes to see how they're related to work organization. We need to expand our measurement of work organization characteristics. We've measured a few. We need to start looking at things like the structure of work, shifts, workplace flexibility, that is shift flexibility, but also some other dimensions of work organization, such as actual measures of harassment and discrimination, which we did not have for this study. we need to expand the industries in which this is being done. Latinas work in a number of industries, or a large number of them work in several industries that really weren't covered much in this analysis. So Latinas working in service industries like the hotels here that we're staying in, the restaurants that we're eating in, where they're doing a lot of the manual labor, we need to start looking at the work organization there. And then finally, we really do need to look, take a longitudinal approach to this and get a cohort of women and see how the work organization affects their health, and so that we can relate their occupational injuries and illnesses to work organization. So, and finally, as we move forward, we need to start considering work organization as a factor in developing occupational safety policy. Thank you.